Continuing with Miklos Nisley, Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Chapter 19. In number one crematorium's gas chamber, 3,000 dead were piled up. The Sonderkommando had already begun to untangle the lattice of flesh. The noise of the elevators and the sound of their clanging doors reached my room. The work moved ahead double time. The gas chambers had to be cleared, for the arrival of a new convoy had been announced. The chief of the gas chamber commando almost tore the hinges off the door to my room as he arrived out of breath, his eyes wide with fear or surprise. "Doctor," he said, "come quickly. We just found a girl alive at the bottom of the pile of corpses." I grabbed my instrument case, which was already ready, and dashed to the gas chamber. Against the wall, near the entrance of the immense room, half covered with other bodies, I saw a girl in the throes of a death rattle, her body seized with convulsions. The gas commando men around me were in a state of panic. Nothing like this had ever happened in the course of their horrible career. We removed the still living body from the corpses pressing against it. I gathered the tiny adolescent body into my arms and carried it back to the room adjoining the gas chamber, where normally the gas commando men change clothes for work. I laid the body on a bench. A frail young girl, almost a child. She could have been no more than 15. I took out my syringe and, taking her arm, she had not yet recovered consciousness and was breathing with difficulty. I administered 3 intravenous injections. My companions covered her body, which was as cold as ice, with a heavy overcoat. One ran to the kitchen to fetch some tea and warm broth. Everyone wanted to help, as if she were his own child. The reaction was swift. The child was seized by a fit of coughing, which brought up a thick globule of phlegm from her lungs. She opened her eyes and looked fixedly at the ceiling. I kept a close watch for every sign of life. Her breathing became deeper and more regular. Her lungs, tortured by the gas, inhaled the fresh air avidly. Her pulse became perceptible, the result of the injections. I waited impatiently. The injections had not yet been completely absorbed, but I saw that within a few minutes she was going to regain consciousness. Her circulation began to bring color back into her cheeks, and her delicate face became human again. She looked around her with astonishment and glanced at us. She still did not realize what was happening to her and was still incapable of distinguishing the present, of knowing whether she was dreaming or really awake. A veil of mist clouded her consciousness. Perhaps she vaguely remembered a train, a long line of boxcars which had brought her here. Then she had lined up for selection, and before she knew what was happening, been swept along by the current of the mass into a large, brilliantly lighted underground room. Everything had happened so quickly. Perhaps she remembered that everyone had had to undress. The impression had been disagreeable, but everybody had yielded resignedly to the order. And so, naked, she had been swept along into another room. Mute anguish had seized them all. The second room had also been lighted by powerful lamps. Completely bewildered, she had let her gaze wander over the mass huddled there, but found none of her family. Pressed close against the wall, she had waited, her heart frozen, for what was going to happen. All of a sudden, the lights had gone out, leaving her enveloped in total darkness. Something had stung her eyes, seized her throat, suffocated her. She had fainted. There her memories ceased.